comes Neil to read to us about Thomas. Thank you very much. Today's reading is taken from John's Gospel, chapter 20, verses 24 to 31. Jesus appears to Thomas. Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you've seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you very much. Right, you're set?
Yeah.
I'm going to pray for you. Father, we thank you for your word as read to us, and we pray for Ruth, for your Holy Spirit to speak through her, to encourage us, to inform us. And Lord, we pray as we hear that faith may grow in our hearts. Amen.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's great to be with you. This morning, I want to tell you a little story about something that happened many years ago when I was a child. I was around the age of 6, I was in infant school, and I was about to go to see my friend Louise for a play date. She was soon to meet up, she was soon to move house, so it was our last opportunity to meet up. And we were both very excited and planning what we were going to do. When Louise said something to me that took me aback, she said, "Ruth, I have something to tell you. I have elephants in my garden." Well, I did not like the sound of this, not one little bit. I said, "What do you mean you've got elephants in your garden? Do you mean like statues?" And she said, "No, I have real elephants." Well, from that moment on, I didn't hear another word as she said, as I glazed over in sheer panic. And I was thinking to myself, how can I get out of going to Louise's house? The walk home from school that day with my mum was a quiet one as I pondered everything I had heard. Then I finally got home and announced to my mum that I would not be going to Louise's house. She asked me, confused, why, as I suddenly had changed my mind. So I blurted out, "Because Louise has elephants." My poor mum did all she could do to convince me that day that she did not have elephants. She said, "Ruth, I can guarantee you 100%. And my mum was a woman of her word. But a seed of doubt had been planted in my mind. And I remember thinking, "That's all very well, but what if you're wrong?" The next day, my mum was really embarrassed to tell Louise's mum why I wouldn't be going round there. And Louise's mum, wide-eyed and exasperated, says, "Oh no, not again." Louise was going through a phase of telling tall stories, and I never got to go to Louise's house. And then she moved far away. You know, it obviously seems silly now, and hopefully I'm a little bit less gullible. I'm not sure. But it demonstrates that most doubts start with a seed. And it doesn't always have to be logical, doesn't have to be born out of experience. But sometimes that seed can take root and grow till it becomes all-consuming. We keep thinking, but what if? I wonder if you have your what ifs in your life. Yes, doubt certainly affects our outlook and the actions that we take. Today we continue our sermon series on encounters with Jesus. And as you heard earlier, we're looking at Thomas in John's Gospel. Thomas' very personal encounter with the living Jesus Christ. And he was a man himself who had his own doubts. And yet it's also such a beautiful story of Jesus' compassion and understanding of our human nature. There are three things that I want to look at this morning in the short time we have together. Three things we can learn from Thomas's experience to encourage us as we realise that we can encounter that same risen Lord that Thomas encountered that day. But before I do, I just want to reassure you about one thing. That doubt is not a barrier to encountering Jesus. It's often said that faith has to wrestle before it rests. So can I ask you this morning, are you struggling with any doubts? For some Christians, to say that doubt is not a barrier is actually quite controversial. But we know when we look at the Bible, we notice there are men and women like you and me today who had doubts, yet God did amazing things through them. We might think of Abraham and Sarah, Zechariah and Elizabeth, who after much doubt became parents in old age. Also Gideon, who despite his doubts would become a judge and leader. From Moses, who was told he would lead his people out of Egypt, to Thomas himself, who Jesus commissioned to spread the good news. They were all people who saw God move in power, but also people who struggled with doubts along their journey of faith. So again, how about you and me this morning? Are there areas in our lives that we're really wrestling with doubt? Well, I want to say to you this morning that you are not alone. As we begin to read this account of Thomas, we notice that he was a man that was seriously struggling with doubt. He'd seen Jesus perform miracles. He'd seen him at the Last Supper and heard everything that he'd had to say. And yet later, when Jesus is seemingly defeated by death, Thomas was hidden behind closed, locked doors. Thomas was alone, separated from the other disciples and scared of the Jewish authorities. He was filled with crippling doubt. However, the joy of encountering Jesus is that firstly, Jesus brings us from isolation into community. When Thomas's fellow disciples encountered Jesus, they went to find Thomas and told him everything that they'd heard and seen. It was in that moment that he was brought back into community and Thomas had the freedom to express his doubts. Also often, you know, we have doubts and we somehow become isolated, don't we? We start to think we're the only ones. Time goes by and we get discouraged, not only struggling with the doubts themselves, but the fact that we're actually doubting in the first place. And if not dealt with properly, it can grow and become absolutely overwhelming. We begin to isolate ourselves from other people, sometimes fearful that they'll discover what it is we're doubting about and will condemn us. So Thomas looked like he was in that place of being overwhelmed by doubt. But the disciples' encounter with Jesus gave him that desire to actually seek him and share the good news with him. and it gave him the chance to be honest and restored him back to the community of faith. You know, a true encounter with Jesus should not only draw us closer to him, but to those around us. And notice when Jesus returned to his disciples, he met with Thomas also. And like Thomas, Jesus has placed us in a community here together, a community with purpose. Being together is very important, as it's written in the letter to the Hebrews. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The Hebrews, whoever they were, needed to hear this because they'd begun to drift. And for some of them, they began to give up their faith completely. So can I ask, is there a Thomas in your life that you need to reach out to? Somebody you need to come alongside? Someone to listen to and encourage? Thomas was encouraged, despite his doubts, to return to his friends. So it makes the point, how can we encounter Jesus ourselves? By meeting and encouraging one another. And just like it was for the disciples, Jesus himself promised that where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them. As we gather, we meet with Jesus. And so one of the most important things we can do as we gather is to encourage one another. So encountering Jesus brings us back from isolation to community. And secondly, encountering Jesus brings us from doubt to faith. It's strange, isn't it, as Keith said earlier, that Thomas has been given the label of doubting Thomas. Only 9 chapters before in John's Gospel, we hear of his absolute bravery, his willingness to follow Jesus back to Bethany, despite the fact he may die there. And whilst, yes, he was a bit pessimistic, he had true courage. Again, Thomas is not the only one that doubted that Jesus had been resurrected. In fact, all of them except for John doubted until they saw the risen Jesus with their own eyes. Despite his inclination to doubt, when Thomas himself encountered Jesus, he became the first to recognize his divinity. When he said, "My Lord and my God," what a transformation. And I find that really encouraging to know that. Because maybe you have people in your life that you've been praying for a long time that just feel so far away from God. We see in Thomas what a difference encounter with Jesus can make. Thomas's doubt was replaced with faith. But Thomas's doubt was a doubt that had purpose. His desire was actually to know the truth. And you know, I believe Jesus honoured that. As he stood there with Thomas and his fellow disciples, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. Put your fingers here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Such great, I find them such beautiful words, such grace, such compassion. And it's the same grace and compassion that God offers to us in our own struggles and our own doubts. And I just pray that we may be like Jesus in that way, offering to others God's compassion and grace in their doubts. So if we're struggling, how can we begin to start that journey from doubt to faith? How can we overcome our doubts and grow in faith? Well, another person that wrestled with doubt was Peter. I said Thomas, didn't I? Was the Apostle Peter. Do you remember what happened when he saw Jesus walking on the water? He got out of his boat and he stepped onto the waves and walked towards him. And that took so much courage, so much faith. But when he took his eyes off Jesus, he began to sink when he looked at the waves and the water. Have you ever had that sinking feeling? But you know, fortunately, Jesus reached out, grabbed him, and saved him. Sometimes we look at our circumstances, our doubts grow in the storm. So the important thing is to keep our eyes on Jesus, which is exactly what God's word encourages to do. Again, it says in Hebrews, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. One version actually says Jesus is the author of faith, which I love. You know, Jesus creates faith in us by his word and perfects faith in us when we keep looking at him. Faith involves trust, which sometimes takes time to grow. And we see that in relationships, don't we? For example, when couples come together, they begin to trust each other bit by bit. For example, they trust each other to turn up on their first date, or whatever happens now, a bit out of touch, they have all different names for it. As time goes by, the love and trust grows together. So more time spent with Jesus in prayer and reading his word, the bigger he will become and smaller our doubts will be. St. Paul said faith comes from the word of God. A growing faith rooted in God's word overcomes doubt. So if you've got big problems and big doubts, maybe you need a fresh encounter with a bigger Jesus. So let me just quickly recap. Encountering Jesus brings us from isolation to community. It brings us from doubt to faith. And lastly, very briefly, encountering Jesus brings us to action. Jesus went to be with the Father and he left his disciples in no doubt about the task ahead. To spread the good news of the coming kingdom, to declare that Jesus is the Messiah and that by believing him they may have eternal life in his name. And that encounter with Jesus and the Holy Spirit that we heard about this morning gave them the strength to persist in the face of opposition. And it's a commission that applies to us as followers of Jesus Christ. We have the same calling. So we've seen from Thomas's encounter with Jesus that he swept away all doubt and brought him from isolation to community, from doubt to faith, and brought him into action as a faithful minister of the gospel. In our last few moments together, I would really love to pray for you. I'm going to ask the band to come up, is that okay? And Keith to come and join me and pray. And let's just take a few moments to come afresh to Jesus this morning, seeking his presence and seeking an encounter with him, because by golly, he loves you so much. Yeah, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we welcome you in this place. And Father God, we desire an encounter with every aspect of you. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We come to you, Father, with all our doubts, with our struggles, with all those things that we think about that keep us up, Lord, and we just place them at the foot of your cross. But Father, I just want to pray for your blessing, Lord, over each person here. I pray, Lord, that they would have a fresh encounter with you. Would you bring your peace, Father, your peace in the name of Jesus.
My Lord and my God, said Thomas. And Father, we pray that through the power of your Holy Spirit, through your word, that you'd open our eyes to Jesus, who is risen and amongst us. And Father, as you activated Thomas, sent him off in mission and preaching the good news of Jesus in service, Father, we pray for each of us to be activated by your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, be outpoured upon the church family here. Lord, bring us alive as never before. Lord, lift us up as you grabbed hold of Peter, sinking below the waves. Lord, grab hold of us in whatever difficult situations we're in. Lord, lift us up and help us to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith.